took care of by appearing and supplying an endless array of sari, which covered Draupadi again and again and again. It's described that the men were dragging and dragging and dragging until the whole palace hall was full of sari material which had been supplied by the Supreme Lord. So Krishna is there to, and comes to the help of the devotee who just simply desires to surrender to the lotus feet. So therefore, let us understand, to make a little sacrifice on one sense does not mean we will lose anything. We will be the winners in the transcendental reality. We sacrifice our desires for happiness in this world and can come to the platform where we want to make the Lord happy, the more we advance on the devotional path. So I do not want to talk very long this evening, but end here. Do you have any questions regarding these subjects? Someone who wants to serve Krishna out of love needs to understand a little bit about the wonderful qualities of Krishna. Then it is possible for him to do that. A good example of this connection is the Brahmana Sudama. Sudama, Brahman, actually spent his education, you were mentioning education, in the same Gurukul as Krishna. He went with Krishna to, he had the same guru, so the same who taught both of them. Sudama was living as a very, very, how do you say, poor Brahmana. And they were so poor that they didn't have enough food. So one day his wife came and told him, please go to Krishna, your friend, he's so rich. Ask him to, that he gives us at least a little bit wealth. So Sudama Brahmana went, and it is described, when he came to the shore of the ocean, he saw the beautiful palace of Dwaraka. He saw it was covered all with gold. It had a large effulgence. He was thinking, oh my, Krishna, to, with whom I went to the same school, he lives in there. So he took a boat and arrived at the shore of Dwaraka. And because he was a Brahmana, he was passing through seven gates. Around each of these gates, or walls of the town, I should say, you know, the gates there, in the walls of the town, there were military armies, the armies of Krishna. And they all allowed them, him, because he was a Brahmana, to pass. Finally, he went into one palace, where he saw Rukmini, where Rukmini was there, then Krishna, the Chamara. And when Krishna saw his friend, the Brahmana Sudama, he immediately jumped up from his bedstead and said to him, you look so tired after walking so much, please sit here. And he washed the feet of Sudama Brahmana, and he himself engaged the goddess of fortune to offend Sudama Brahmana. And Siddhartha was still thinking, oh my Lord, my Lord, I know why you do this. You want to glorify the Brahmins. That's why you do it. Anyways, it's a long story. At the end, Sudama left Lord Krishna again and came to his where his hut used to be. And instead of seeing the hut, he saw in its stead a beautiful palace. And there were not only, marmor palace buildings, but there were also lawns and parks and so on and so forth. And then he saw his wife who came to him speechless, and she was dressed all in a very good sari and golden ornaments. And the Sudama Brahmana knew that this was Krishna who had given him a huge palace. Although when Sudama Brahmana was with Krishna, he never even asked with one word to have riches, material riches. He forgot totally to ask, although his good wife had told him to please, you know, just mention the situation and you know, get it. But he just was so much overwhelmed by the glories of the Supreme Lord that he couldn't mention this and ask for material things. So, you know, if you hear this, you will hear one important thing, that the Supreme Lord, if you just become his devotee, he knows what you need and he will take care of everything. A devotee who understands this will always be the winner. Even in seemingly distressful situations, he knows, my Lord has given this to me so that I become more close to his lotus feet, that I become more drawn to him. And this is what we need to know. We want to serve Krishna out of love. We need to know that Krishna is taking care of us. We need to establish at least a little bit our relationship to Krishna. Right now when we are coming, it is described, we are now born out of sin, but we want to be born out of love. We want to be Ratija. Ratija means someone who is born out of love. And therefore we need to just hear a little bit about Krishna's gunas. Otherwise, how will we be able to pray for him? Not possible. That's why we should read Krishna book. Prabhupada says, anyone who reads Krishna book will become a devotee. That's our chance. Malavendra Puri.
You mentioned that Yajnani Swami was actually the interest in Chaitanya Swami. But he was initiating spiritual master of Ramana Krishna Swami.
Yeah.
But Ramana Krishna Swami delivered the lie to the spiritual master. Isn't that sort of an offense? Of course, he saw this Krishna's arrangement because he was watched him for a long time and finally got a chance to escape.
Yeah.
Still,
he lied to his initiating spiritual master. Isn't that an offense? I'm just that's a very good question. I mean, Jagannandan was more like a Kula guru, that is a family guru. We have an example in Srimad Bhagavatam of another great devotee going against his initiating guru, and that is Vali Maharaj. When Vamanadeva came to him to ask for three steps of land, his guru Shukracharya knew, well, if he says yes, then this little dwarf, who's no one else than Vishnu, will with his three steps of land take everything away, and then no more money for me. So he said, don't give up. In fact, it's very interesting, you know. And then, just to make sure that the transaction could not take place, he even assumed a mystical gift. See, in Vedic custom, if I would give, or if someone gives something to a Brahmana, he will pour a little water on the hands of the Brahmana and then give the gift into the hands of purified hands of the Brahmana. Okay? So when Bali Maharaj said, no, I'm going to give him three steps of land. But if he takes everything away from me, if he is Vishnu, alright. So he just wanted to pour the water into the hand of Brahman. But then, Sisi Ramanan Manaki, now we have to speak a little softly because Krishna will now take his night milk. Or he has taken already, and Mother Yashoda wants him to sleep. But he's so restless, and when we talk so loud, he will immediately, you know, get up from sleep and can't sleep, you know. Softly, do soft. Now, so anyways, and then Maharaj just wanted to try to pour the water in the hand. Then Shukracharya went into the opening of that is that one kind?
Spout.
Into the spout, yes. And the water would come. And the bum just took a little straw, this one, the sprout, it's like a hose, right?
Yeah, it looks like a hose.
Yeah, so Shukracharya got a bleeding eye from this. So there you can have an example that that you can disobey the initiating spiritual master if it is for advancement in Krishna consciousness. In fact, such an initiating spiritual master can be rejected. It is if he hampers us to how to say to take full surrender to Krishna. Yeah. Even if we have been initiated by a spiritual master who has given up this vow which he made to his own guru, then to leave such a spiritual master and take shelter again is recommended for a devotee who wants to advance on the path of Krishna consciousness. So, yes, Raghunath may have said to Yadunandan, okay, I'm going to take care of the situation. Then he may have, so to say, cheated him, but it was not for any unchaste reasons, but it was to find full shelter under the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And later, he took the shelter of Sarudanga, actually. Mahaprabhu gave him to the shelter of Sarudanga, and he learned everything from Sarudanga. Okay, so, other question? A little boy? This brother, your brother Nilambar, not a small boy, very, very nice people. He travels with a bus crew. He's only 14 years old. But does puja, the deities, cooking, and madanga playing, and everything. So he to follow the footsteps of your brother, Mr. Buddha Paul, they come to Vadasavi. All right, so I think we have taken up the time, the lecture. Thank you very much for coming. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gauranitai ki jai, Gaura Premanandi ki jai, Hare Krishna,
Sachinanda Maharaj ki
jai.
Selfless root of the tree of devotional service. He is very dear to the son of Sachi Devi and is worshipped by the entire universe. Out of his great mercy, he chants the holy name of Lord Hari, thus rescuing the souls drowning in the age of Kali and crushing the pride of the ocean of repeated birth and death. The ocean has been proud before the appearance of Lord Nityananda that he could get everyone, the ocean of death and birth. But Lord Nityananda has finished the pride of that ocean, can't get anyone. Aye brahat niram kalikaloshinam kingu bhavita tata prayaschitam nirashayat anayasatayime vrajanti tvamitam sava bhagavata mantrayatiyo bhaje nityanandam bhajanatvarukandam niravadi. I worship Lord Nityananda, the limitless root of the tree of devotional service. He said to Lord Chaitanya, "Oh brother, the people are all becoming infected by the sins of Kali Yuga. How will they atone, for these sins? Please give them a way to easily approach you." Yadashtamre vratakuru harid harid dvanamanisham tatova samsaram buri taranadayo mahi nage iram mauspote ratayam yapratigyam bhaje nityanandam madanatarokandam niravadi. I worship Lord Nityananda, the limitless root of the tree of devotional service. He went to each house in Bengal and raising his arm said, "Oh brother, boyre boyre, but Bhaja Krishna Kore Krishna, Bhaja Krishna Smara Krishna Kore Krishna Shika." He said, "Oh brother, if you will please constantly chant the holy name of Lord Hari. If you do this, you will become free from the ocean of repeated birth and death. Please give me this gift of your liberation." But he was begging them, "Please give me a gift." "What is that gift?" "Well, your own liberation." "Well, how can I obtain that?" "Oh, please constantly chant the holy name of Lord Hari." There is a name of Lord Nityananda chanted by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Many names of the 12 names of Nityananda like that, but I don't want to say something which is not totally right. So in one of the Vaishnava literatures, this is safer to say, it says that the holy name is the treasure of the pran. Pran is the air which goes in. But in other words, a rich person is he who always has the holy name in the ingoing and outgoing breathing. That means he chants 24 hours a day. He is a rich person. A poor person is who have only 16 rounds in the name and the bread. and a still poorer person.
Yes, of course. He who is absolutely destitute as a swipe of the arm.
Bala samsaram munidi hava arana kumbhudavam maho sadam shreya sindhu nadik mudabandham samuritam kala shreni spurjit imira hara surya prabhamaham bhaje nityanandam bhajana tarukandam viravade. I worship Lord Nityananda, the limitless root of the tree of devotional service. He is the Agastya Muni who possibly swallows the ocean of repeated death. He is a rising full moon, friend of the night blooming lotus, who expands the ocean of the saintly devotee's good fortune. Rising full moon? Acha. He is the blazing sun who extinguishes the darkness of the community of demons. Once Agastya Muni was asked to empty out the ocean and drinking it, because in the ocean the demons were hiding and they couldn't be reached by the devatas. So in the night they would come out of the ocean, just wreck the havoc. They were under the protection of the ocean, so no one could actually do anything against them. So the devatas asked Agastya Muni if he could kindly drink out the ocean. And he did so. And afterwards, he passed water. And it became a long water passing session, as you can imagine, until everything was out. But then, that is the reason why we consider Meersalz, ocean salt, you know, which is eaten by the bio fanatics, we consider that actually impure. That's what I once heard. I hope that it's true, but at least I don't eat any Meersalz any longer because of that reason. You might like to check that with the Pujari department, but that's what I heard. So the Lord Nityananda is like Agastya Muni, who possibly has drunken out the ocean of repeated birth and death, no longer there for those who take shelter. And he is a troublemaker for the demons. Even these Polish people can't be really described as demons. They're just servants of the demons. But even they said, if you go here soon, wir blamieren uns total. It will be a total reputation loss. So he extinguishes the darkness of the community of demons. Then Natantam garantam harim anuvadantam pati pati vrajantam pasyantam swam apinadayantam janaganam prakurvantam santam sakarunadrikantam prakalanat bhaje nityanandam bhajanatarukandam niravadi. I worship Lord Nityananda, the limitless root of the tree of devotional service. He traveled on every path, dancing, singing the names of Lord Hari, and describing his glories. Without considering his own interest, he was merciful to the people, and he cast upon them his merciful sidelong glance. This is what Nityananda Prabhu did. He traveled extensively, blessing the conditioned souls. We even hear that Lord Nityananda up to this day travels in Navadvip Dham. He sometimes does a whole branch, the
Navadvipa Mata Parikram in 5 days, sometimes in 3 days, sometimes in 3 days, and sometimes he completes it, it's a long journey, in one night. He used to do that also when he was in his manifest Leela, the Prakat Leela. He sometimes used to, he must have run or something through all the 9 islands of Northern Vietnam to do it within one night. Some of us will do it this year in 7 days. I mean, not the night, just the days we do more. So we will now have the, so Nityananda Prabhu, he just traveled there and passed his sight on glance to the conditioned souls who instantaneously were blessed with love of Krishna. So this is now the last verse of this Nityananda Ashrakam. This here, actually it would be nice if we could chant the last line together. When I come to it, we will just chant it responsibly. Subri Bradam Bradu Karasarasi Jam Kamalatavam Nito Vakra Loka Chila Paramananda Hridayam Brahmantam Madhuryar Aha Marayantam Purajanam Bhaje Bhaje Nityanandam
Nityanandam
Bhajanataro
Bhajanataro
Kandam
Kandam
Niravadi
Niravadi.
I worship Lord Nityananda, the limitless root of the tree of devotional service. He fondly grasped his brother Lord Chaitanya's soft and beautiful lotus hand. And together they wandered here and there, hand in hand, delighting the townspeople with their sweet beauty. They both became filled with bliss when they gazed upon each other's lotus faces. So when there's a Shruti Pal, Rasanam Madaram Rasikavada Satvaishnavadanam Rasakaram Saram Patita Tatitaram Smaranta Param Nityananda Shakaminam Apurvam Patatiyaha Tadangritvan Vabjam Suratu Nitaram Tasya Hridaye. These 8 verses glorifying Lord Nityananda are the abode of the mellows of devotional service. And they are the well of the pure devotees expert at relishing those mellows. All the fallen conditioned souls can get liberation just by remembering them. These verses are very excellent, transcendental and unprecedented. May the 2 lotus feet of Lord Nityananda appear eternally in the hearts of those who read these verses and remember the Lord. Nityananda Rama Ki
Jai.
These verses are composed by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, who is considered to be the Vyasadeva of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. There can be photocopies. If you want, we will again put them, maybe Dr. Manipur afterwards, we will put them at the Schwarzebrett, notice board.
Yeah.
So before the arati starts, we will hear a little bit about Nityananda's glories in a little unusual way. I thought to read to all of you the glories of Nityananda's devotees. We know that the Lord can be glorified also in glorifying his devotees. So now we will just glorify a few of Lord Nityananda's extremely powerful devotees. See, the devotees of Lord Nityananda were so special because they carried the Lord in their hearts. And it is described, anyone who one could they not, was instantaneously obtaining love of Godhead. And just need to look at that somewhat. So the reason for their extreme power is obviously that they are not ordinary devotees even, but they must be special. And we hear from Krishnadas Karyakrita Viraj Goswami how they were special. We will read about them now from the 11th chapter of Adi Lila.
Someone who wants to serve Krishna out of love needs to understand a little bit about the wonderful
formerly cowherd boys in Brajabhumi. Their symbolic representations were the horns and sticks they carried. They carried horns and sticks like the cowherd boys. The cowherd dress they carried and the peacock plumes on their head. They also had them.
Translation. O best of the Guru dynasty, without sacrifice, one can never live happily among this land or in this life, what land of the land and whatever. Whatever form of material existence one is in, one is more very naturally ignorant of this real world situation. In other words, existence in the material world is due to the multiple actions of our sinful lives. Ignorance is the cause of sinful life, and sinful life is the cause of one's dragging on the material existence. The human form of life is the only loophole by which one may get out of this entanglement. Therefore, give us a chance for escape by pointing out the paths of religion, the comfort, regulated sense gratification, and at last, the means to get out of the miserable condition entirely. The path of religion or the different kinds of sacrifice recommended above automatically solves our economic problems. By performance of Yajna, we have food, nourishment, etc., and so-called increase of population. When the body is fully supplied, naturally the next stage is to satisfy the senses. The Vedas prescribe, therefore, sacred marriage for regulated sense gratification. Thereby, one is gradually elevated to the platform of release from material bondage. And the highest perfection of liberated life is to associate with the Supreme Lord. Perfection is achieved by performance of yajna, as described above. Now, if a person is not inclined to perform yajna according to the Vedas, how can he expect a happy life even in this body? And what to speak of another body on another planet? There are different grades of material comforts in different heavenly planets, and in all cases there is immense happiness for persons engaged in different kinds of yajna. But the highest kind of happiness that a man can achieve is to be promoted to the spiritual planets by practice of Krishna consciousness. A life of Krishna consciousness is therefore the solution to all the problems of material existence. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Namaste Devi Gauravani Prachadine Nirvase Sashunyavadi Paspatyadi Satarini
Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Without sacrifice, one can never live happily on this planet or in this life. What then of the next? The concept of sacrifice in the Western civilization is as rare as a dinosaur. What is the word?
Dinosaur.
Dinosaur. It is an unknown concept. At least it is unknown in the way the Vedas use it. We do find great materialists performing sacrifices, but not for spiritual elevation like the Vedas prescribe. For instance, you will find football players practicing voluntarily celibacy before a world master play. They know only if they have be celibate for 2 weeks at least, their physical bodies will be strong so that they can play at their best. Or we will find great musicians undergoing several years of sacrifices in order to be actually successful in their musical endeavors. Or we find politicians on their campaigns, political campaigns, undergoing through great austerities in their travel schedules in order to speak at most, as many places as possible and convince their audience with their sly lies. But we do not really find examples of austerities and sacrifice performed for spiritual life. Here in this verse, Prabhupada gives a very interesting point of view. He says, our existence in the material world is due to the multiple reactions to our sinful lives. Our existence here means we have a body, we exist with a body, and we exist with a mind, is a reaction or a consequence of severe sinful activities performed in the past. We are the product of sin, in other words, to make it more clear, that is our bodies and minds. Now, that is a point which is extremely disturbing for a person who wants to become God conscious, because it means that the position A, Deutschland, Ausgangspunkt, the place from where one starts his journey, is highly unfavorable, to say the least. So the process of sacrifice, the process of that is making our position from where we start our spiritual life favorable. Someone who performs yajna, that means activities to please the Supreme Lord, will obtain the pleasure of the Lord, and therefore have all possibilities for a very nice start in Krishna consciousness. I want to give you this evening the example of Raghunath Das Goswami to make this point very clear. Raghunath Das Goswami was born in a highly affluent, that means rich, family, and he, even at a relatively young age, would enjoy the benefits of richness. It is described whenever he would go on a journey, he would ride on an elephant, and there would be a small army traveling with him to see that no thieves or plunderers of would cause any discomfort for Raghunath. Now, at the age of 8 years, he got contact with Haridas Thakur, a great devotee of the Lord, and heard about the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord himself. It is described that if you hear from a pure devotee about Krishna, or about an incarnation of Krishna, your taste is immediately born. For instance, we have heard how Rukmini heard from Narada Muni about Krishna's qualities, and although she was promised to another king named Shishupal, she immediately desired to become associated with the Supreme Lord Krishna just by hearing. This is how strong the words of the pure devotees are. It is even described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srinata Swankata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. That means that upon hearing about the Lord in the heart becomes an active friend, an active well-wisher. In other words, he will arrange the life of someone who constantly hears about him in such a way that he will certainly meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead in one time or another. In the 13th chapter, the power of listening to devotees is explained in yet another way. It is described there that although you may be inexperienced in transcendental life, just by hearing about Krishna, you will develop such a great interest that you will lose interest in everything else. That is also explained by the gopis, that my dear materialistic friends, if you want to stay where you are, don't look at the beautiful form of Lord Govinda standing at the bank of the Jamuna River. In other words, hearing or coming in contact with Krishna is spoiling our material life entirely. It makes us desirous to go back home, back to Godhead. And our desire will become especially strong because the Supreme Lord in the heart it takes care that our lives quickly changes. In other words, that we make steps towards the devotional line or the devotional side. So Raghunath Das Goswami, that's the example he sets in this life, heard from Haridas Thakur and developed a strong desire to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His parents became extremely worried when they saw that, and made arrangements for him to stay in amongst the mids and not lead the life of an ascetic. It is described that they gave him two cooks who cooked for him, and also a very beautiful wife who was constantly taking care of all his needs. Raghunath Das had tried many times to leave home, but was always unsuccessful because of his parents' vigilance. They took so much care that he would stay in material life. One day, after obtaining the mercy of Lord Nityananda, Raghunath went with the family priest at Yadunandan home. And Yadunandan had a little problem. The problem was that one of his Brahmin disciples did not feel enthusiastic to perform the service to the deities any longer. I think here on the farm, we are constantly afraid of this problem, that one day one devotee will stop serving the deity. One brahmana falls out of, let us say, a cook. Let us say our Narahari Mataji one day decides, I will go in one corner of the farm and change 128 rounds every day and not cook any longer. Padmanabha would immediately have a heart attack, because that would mean he would have to maybe cook another. You know what I want to say? I don't want to give such personal examples, because they are totally out of place, since no one of our brahmanas ever thinks of leaving that service. But just as an example, if such a thing should happen, it is tragic. We know this on the farm. So, Yadunanda, one Brahmin disciple, left his puja, and therefore there was a vacant place, and he just said to Raghunath, can't you just take care of that? Can't you preach to him that he, you know, again takes up the service of the Lord? Raghunath said, yes. So they changed their ways, going to the house of that Brahmin disciple. When Raghunath said all of a sudden to Yadunandan, I can walk alone. You just go home, it's late, take a rest, huh? And I will preach to him and then go to my home. And Yadunanda, because he was tired, said, yes, that was a mistake. Because now Raghunath was on his own. No one was there guarding him any longer. And he immediately took the chance. He went towards Puri, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing for the time being. It is described that he took, he didn't take the common road, because his father might suspect him going towards Puri and catch up with him. So he went through the jungle road. Raghunath was practically like a prince, not accustomed to bodily discomfort, but it is described he slept only in the milk sheds of some farmers, you know, the places where the cows are brought for milking. And every second day he would sometimes eat something, you know, what the farmers would bring him, but sometimes he would not eat at all. In this way he just went and went and went to the Supreme Lord in Puri. It took him, I believe, something like 14 days, and then he was there, and he developed an amazing amount of renunciation. It is described that stones would melt when they would hear about the renunciation of Raghunath. Just like lines which are engraved. in a gold-tested stone and immovable. In much the same way, Raghunath Das Goswami's austerity was immovable, not shaken by anything. And finally, it is a long story, the Supreme Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was himself very much moved by the austerity of Raghunath. Raghunath, at the end, ate only a little rice, which was already discarded. You know, when you cook and you wash some... No, it was a different thing. So many pots of rice were daily offered to Lord Jagannath, and it was just so much that it could not be distributed. So it would all be thrown onto the backyard of the temple, and there rot away. So Raghunath came in the night, took a little of that rotting rice, then peeled it, the outside, the, I don't know in English the word, the rotten substance, so to say, was, so that he had only the kernel. Not the kernel, yes, like the seed of the inside of the rice, and that he would eat. So one day Mahaprabhu came and said, "I'm here, you are celebrating great feasts, why don't you invite me?" "Oh no," said Raghunath, I'm not celebrating great feasts." Mahaprabhu saw this rice preparation, you know, what he had taken from the rotten rice, and he said, "Ah, is this what you are taking?" And he was eating it himself. "Oh, it's so good. It tastes so good." Raghunath just caught the hand of the Lord and said, "No, my dear Lord, don't eat this. This is not fit for you. Please, don't embarrass me like this." So, the point which I want to make is that for one's spiritual life, renunciation is extremely important. But it is not always very easy, because the natural trend of our body, which is born out of sin, and our mind, which is born out of sin, is to not renounce the material world, but to enjoy it to the fullest extent. All the time, the body will make demands on us to have something to eat. Even if the belly is full, it wants to have more. Have you noticed this? Sunday feast. You may say after one Sunday feast, "Okay, the next Sunday feast I'm going to be a self-controlled ascetic, following in the footsteps of Raghunath Das Goswami." When there are three parts, it's very difficult. Or, you know, when we are in the temple, we know it's not good to eat so much Mahaprasad in the evening, because our nights are not a little disturbed by restlessness. Mahaprasad is so good. It's extremely difficult to not eat in the evening. So our body is always attracted to this, and our minds in a similar way are also attracted to think of different ways how we can be glorified and how others can be impressed by our activities. But if we do not learn to check these tendencies in body and mind, it is extremely difficult to develop the higher taste of Krishna consciousness. It is described in the Yaksha Prashna. The question is put, by what great things are attained? The answer is given by tapasya, by renunciation. this is how we can attain great things. So in Krishna consciousness, the renunciation of a devotee is quite simple. By following four rules and regulations, we renounce the gross desires for pleasures in this material world. However, when we advance more in Krishna consciousness, we will see one little problem arising. See, of all the material pleasures, illicit sex life is certainly the greatest. It is described just like a prison has iron bars to keep the prisoners bound or captive. This material world has also iron bars, the bars of sex life. Now, I think our young devotee, how of the others do? It's fascinating. He cannot understand this. He is still so young, so people are so small. But I think once we cross that barrier of puberty, that our bodies and minds just turn wild. We will be able to understand. It's a great thing. Now, once you attachment to this material world, now once you have curbed this gross attachment, it comes up again in a subtle form, almost like a ghost, you know. When you have killed one demon, then his ghost is there and begins to haunt you. In the same way, the sex life has a subtle body or a subtle aspect, and that is the desire for recognition, the desire to be praised by others, the desire to have, so to say, admirers, followers, or at least those who recognize us for our qualities. That's a great desire. It's called pratishtha. Srila Sanatana Goswami says that even if you have overcome the desire for carnal pleasures, sexual pleasures, we could also say, then the desire for pratishtha, for recognition, will be there. There is a reason why this is so, which we have explained at another lecture, but I want to bring it up here again. See, the soul is eternal by nature. It is, that we all know. Pratishtha, or recognition, seems to also have that quality. The materialist, even if he is dead and gone, people still know if he was famous. In other words, your body may die, but your name doesn't die if you have attained fame. So the materialistic mind thinks like this. It's like a subconscious thought. Recognition or name and fame and glory is the best thing in this world because it is next to eternity. I may die, but if I'm famous, that never dies. This is why we are so much attracted to this kind of pleasure, that for fame, people are prepared to even risk their own lives. Yes. And their career, their families, and so on and so forth. So in Krishna consciousness, we have to understand that our goal is actually to become recognized by Krishna. we want that Krishna sees whatever we do is pleasing to him. The devotee wants to actually become recognized by the Supreme Lord as someone who is reliable in his attempts to serve him with all his abilities. A devotee is described as someone who wants to make Krishna glorious, who wants to let the Lord enjoy, who wants that the Lord's senses are satisfied, not his own senses. He wants that the Lord is happy, and by this endearing quality, the Lord becomes so thankful to the devotee and so indebted to him that he is almost becoming overwhelmed by the mood of his devotee. Krishna has to come and save his devotee. Krishna has to come and take care of him because he is bound by the loving devotional service by, of his devotee. Throughout the history, Krishna has appeared for the pleasure of, for the protection of the devotee. Look at the example of Draupadi. Draupadi was actually in an assembly hall and she was attacked by powerful men who were going to strip her naked. These men were so powerful that one of them alone could fight with 10,000 elephants. Such was the power of these lusty, all these evil people. So in her utmost distress, she called out for the name of Krishna.